listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Cosplay.
You are all fools to challenge me! I'll crush you!
It's been a long time since I've been at full power! Come at me with everything you've got, understand?
You know what? We're gonna eat that sauce up for breakfast.
Yes, yes, yes. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. This is a special live edition this Friday. A special live edition. I've got none other than the man, Luca Mino from TLB Media Project here with us. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good, doing good. Ready for another day.
All right. We're going to be talking about some brand new vaccine information. This episode, so we're dedicating it to. But before we do that, just an update for you all. A quick update. Yeah, I know it doesn't take much for us to derail this show. I mean, when Mike doesn't have all the skits and all the clips ready for us, we've learned this week. What have we learned this week? Mike will jump into a show, derail us. And get us all, you know, talking about this and that. So we've learned that this week. What else we also learned this week? We learned that I can't sing metal, but you know, anything else like I can pretty much do, I guess. What else did we learn? We've learned. Well, I don't know. What else have we done this week that's a little bit different? We know it's very upsetting the topics that we cover. We just gotta bring it out with some comedy every now and again. So, but anyhow, this is gonna be a very serious episode, and I want to start the show off with a little bit of an update. Update and a recap. For those of you who do not know, yes, I've been having a little bit of tax troubles. Not that I'm the one in trouble, but it's the IRS who doesn't want to pay me. Didn't want to pay me. So, being abroad, you don't have a lot of options. So, I actually, I said, screw it. You know, I'm calling H&R Block. I'm calling H&R Block. Oh, my God. Yeah, because, you know, these criminals want to send me checks over here. I actually didn't file for the past few years that I've been here in Poland. It's like, no, I should probably file this year. And since I've been here in Poland, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a nice gym. That's a nice hunk of cash. I could use that. And these a-holes, they wanted to send me some little checks that I can't cash. On top of the COVID stuff, which they were instructed to put directly onto my bank account. Now, what is it, again, to be a targeted individual? To be a dissident that the government will do everything they can to try to get rid of. And number one thing they do is to try to disrupt or to destroy your resources. That means cash flow. They'll do everything they can in order to disrupt it. So, it's like, okay, I tried doing filing stuff myself, some online forms, and you know, I do pages and pages and pages of tax stuff. I get to the end of and this is international paperwork, by the way, international paperwork. And at the end of the form, it's the very last thing you have to fill out is an American address. So I don't know if that was just put in there last just to screw at me or what. But it's like, you know what? I know some people that work at H&R Block. My aunt had a semi-retirement from H&R Block. I remember her just doing tax stuff right over the phone. So, you know what? I'm going to call H&R Block. I called H&R Block and I said, hell yeah, we can help you. Said, okay, great. All you got to do is start up an account with us online. I was like, oh, crap. There's just no way I can avoid this virtual stuff. So you're like, nope. Okay, that's fine. So I try to make an account, and boom, problem number one. Account is made, but it's not made. There's an error. I get two or three errors with my just. How hard is it making an account? I've made accounts online for any and everything. You put in your email, you put in a name for the account, and you put in a password, and you verify it. Error code, right after I clicked OK. I literally had to get onto the phone with H&R Block, help desk, three or four times. And on the last time, last call, they're like, we're not getting off the phone with you until everything is right. Because emails, verification emails weren't being sent. You know, just, so the feds are on me. They're all on top of me. But everything finally went through. That hour process for something that should have took 5 minutes. Okay. But lo and behold, through that process, I learned that H&R Block can get me $1,000 more than what I had originally been expecting. So these feds don't understand. Just because you can control something doesn't mean you should. Okay? Yeah, they may have delayed me to get my cash, but now I'm going to get $1,000 more out of their asses. Let's just call it for my trouble. Huh? Huh? So, I've got that I'm looking forward to. And, yeah, so the other legal issue. Yes, just to recap and an update. Someone in my camp over here has been attacked, again, for the resources. The government, this insurance company illegally stole thousands of slotters out of this woman's lazy, her personal business account. I'm sorry, her personal account, not a business account. Her personal account, her personal bank account. Okay, someone on my staff. I'm pretty sure you all know her. And so we have to go to court. There's summons to go to court. Da 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 da. This whole farce of a court went on for 3 years now. Okay, they didn't want to let it go because they illegally took this money. First off, nobody wants to address that, and secondly, they're wanting more money because the person I'm speaking of, she got pushed in front of a car, in front of a moving vehicle. Someone tried to kill her. But yet the insurance company wants to sue her for damages. Now, we have a signed statement at the accident with her name on it in a way that she does not spell her name, nor does she abbreviate. So that was forged. That no one wanted to bring up the cop. Oh, the cop had, no one could bring back that cop because he had quit the force. Something to do with corruption. Right? Okay. had a handwriting specialist show up, and he said, oh, it could be hers, and it couldn't be hers. Inconclusive, right? But lo and behold, COVID-19 pops up, and the judge somehow gets some brand new medical documents from the hospital and declares the case for the insurance company. I said, no. And I already warned you. I warned you, Polish government. I warned you. Listen, I'm going after the NSA. I'm going after the corrupt elements within my government. You're a snack compared to what I'm doing, for real, Polish government. You're a snack. That's okay, I like snacks. Because now we got a lawyer. We're appealing, and I'm taking over the case for this. I'm overseeing this case this time. Because I had explained to the person that this was a mistrial. You can't have evidence pop up out of the blue and not be given to the plaintiff and the person being sued. Okay, you can't just have evidence pop up and then declare something, a victory for anybody. It's called discovery. Discovery has to go to both sides so evidence can be reviewed so it can be challenged or not. The current lawyer that we have now says, I'm 100% right. So not only are we appealing, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We are now suing the judge. Listen, people, I have a voracious appetite. It's voracious. I could dine on small planets and satellites. But for right now, I'll just dine on corporations and governments. They'll do me just fine. I'll stick to the diet for right now. People say I'm getting too big anyways. I have no qualms. You know what they say? It's better to be in the right hand of the devil than in his path. Well, I'm telling you, I'm splitting everybody who steps in my way. I'm splitting you in half. It's not hard math to figure out. You plus me equals you divided. It's at least two. Okay? Target individual. Listen. You want to play this target individual game with me, and you're going to find yourselves being stranded and alone. Your damn selves. With no one able to help you. That's the reality of the situation. There's always somebody bigger. There's always that bigger fish in the ocean that'll devour you. Well, the sooner you admit to the fact that I'm the bigger fish in these scenarios, the easier things will become for you. I'm not just V. I am Legion. I'm a legionnaire who doesn't care if you dare. I got so many eyeballs. You know, you think you got this evil eye over me. I got the public eye watching you. And I'm going to dissect you. It's going to be an autopsy after autopsy. (Laughs) autopsy after autopsy on you people. So just be expecting that. Don't say I didn't warn you. Okay? So we're going to get on with the show. We have our producer back, and I want Luca to... Luca's got some information from hell, so let's just go ahead and get on it. Now, let's get the commercial.
Well, I'm flying at 6,000 feet, and I've got the stewardess that I'm returning to her normal upright position. I'll be right with you.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm over. I'm somewhere else, turning trees in the bark with my bare fist. Luca's joining the Mile High Club. All right. So, you know what? You can have the floor, the cabin, whatever.
Yeah. You have bridge. First class will do them just great.
All right.
And won't last very long. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just wondering what we should start out with. Since your producer's there, should we start with Sherry Tenpenny, or should we start with Dr. Martin?
It's up to you. It's up to you. Well, this was your design.
Well, I had two really, really, really important people that I wanted to share with you guys. And this is after having this up on TLBTalk.com again, because it wouldn't have lasted at all on any other social media, as we know.
Exactly.
And it's thanks to that. It's thanks to TLB Talk that I actually have this. And, you know, V has it also. You know, I mean, people that are on there, they see it. But, you know, we grab what we really feel is important for us to be able to share. And this was mine. Dr. Martin gives an absolutely earth-shaking interview with Stu Peters. And he provides 100% conclusive proof that there's no virus, and that a conspiracy is in play to assault the world with a manufactured bioweapon. They called it a vaccine, but we know it's not a vaccine. It's a trial run for something they'd never done before, including carcinogens to humans. It's absolutely ridiculous. So there's revelation after revelation after revelation. It's a 52-minute piece that you guys should absolutely listen to. And what I did was I started listening to it, and since everything was important, there's so many different things.
Well, we chopped it up, and so we can do that, but you have some outside pieces of that, don't you?
Yes, and what we should do, instead of lining up the clips and talking about them beforehand, I'd like to do the opposite. I'd like to have the clip play, and then we can discuss it afterwards, because it's really important. Some clips are longer than others, and also he changes the subject and talks about so many things in each clip that you can't really address what the specifics. So, welcome to terrorism, right? That's the first clip.
Let's get started. Yeah.
All right. The experts was that this is absolutely.
I want you guys I want you guys to remember this is really important stuff, and this is again, it's verified and it's absolute. So hold on.
Was that this is absolutely open and shut. This is premeditated mass murder. Dr. David Martin joins us now. We appreciate your time. Is that an accurate assessment, do you think, Dr. Martin?
Well, there's no question, because when you inject a known toxin, and we're going to get into this when we talk about the biological and chemical weapons laws and treaties of the United States and the world, for that matter. When you inject a known toxin into a person, you are actually injecting an agent of death. That's what you're doing. And you cannot sit there and hide behind the diaphanous fig leaf of going, well, we're doing it in the public interest, when you know, not have a hunch, you know that it is, in fact, lethal in many instances. Pfizer has even stated that they have an acceptable death rate. I don't know, Stu, do you have an acceptable death rate? Do you have something where you go, well, yeah, that's acceptable?
No, I mean, of course not. And a lot of people say, well, there are risks with every vaccine.
But it's not a risk when you know that you are putting a, and get this very carefully, because this is where the RNA story falls apart. People think that somehow or another, a piece of SARS coronavirus was turned into a vaccine. That is not true. A computer-simulated, synthetic, chimeric, computer-generated code uploaded by the Chinese in January was given to Moderna to put into an injection so that your cells, in the case of the RNA vaccines, so that your cells would produce the S1 spike protein synthesis, not the actual virus, the way we used to do vaccines. This was a computer code uploaded by the Chinese into U.S. manufacturing to inject a pathogen stimulant into the American population. Let's get really, really clear.
Yeah, we have to, because the interview that you recently did was very technical.
Yeah.
I watched it. I took away with it what I did, and a lot of people took away from it other things. But here today, I just really want to get clear to everybody who has any questions whatsoever. This was pre-planned.
Yes.
There are patents dating from what you have discovered all the way back to 2002.
Yep.
At minimum.
Yep.
This is a planned genocide. I mean, there's just
ways
about it.
So let's take this out of the risk of hyperbole, and let's give it to you in the criminal's own words.
Yeah.
Right. Now, remember that the person I'm going to now quote is the veterinarian, not physician, veterinarian, who was responsible on February 6th and February 7th of 2020 to control the message that this pathogen came from a bat somewhere in China. Right. This is a story. And we have in Fauci's emails now, we have on February 6th and on February 7th, Peter Daszak on the record stating that we need a cover story that distances him and the Chinese from this particular pathogen. And that's in public records. That's not my opinion. But let's listen to his words in 2015, shall we? Because this is the criminal indicting himself.
Yeah.
We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. Now, Stu, I'm not going out on a limb.
Those are
That's
his
not
words.
A public health statement. That is a mercenary. That is a mercenary of death.
For profit. Death for profit.
Oh, and what does he say? Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process.
So let's identify
Anthony
those investors.
Fauci's guy.
Okay, so let's identify those investors. Who specifically is he talking about?
Oh, it gets
well,
better.
Listen, he's talking about the investors in Moderna, in Pfizer, and in NIAID and CDC. Remember that NIAID and CDC, as much as we pretend these are public organizations and public institutions, they are what we call regulatory capture. They are the front. Think of them as the R&D shop for the Modernas and for the Pfizers and for the AstraZenecas and for the Johnson & Johnsons. And the fact of the matter is, these companies, going back to 1990, remember the first S1 spike protein vaccine, the first one, was issued to Pfizer in 1990. We are being told this is some sort of new thing, new response, new pathogen, new whatever else. No, it isn't. Pfizer patented the first, in this case, canine S1 spike protein coronavirus vaccine in 1990. Hmm. And we have, without question, the architect of this scam on record in 2015 stating that a key driver is the media and economics will follow the hype. That is collusion. That is racketeering. And that is under the Patriot Act, Section 802 of the Patriot Act. That is domestic terrorism.
That's domestic terrorism.
Violation of U.S. law, okay. The injection of a bioweapon, according to U.S. code.
Yep.
So this says prohibitions with respect to biological weapons, A, in general, whoever.
Okay, so I just want to stay there for a second and just make everybody just remember what he said about collusion, okay? The Chinese biological laboratory in Wuhan is owned by GlaxoSmithKline, who owns Pfizer, okay? Pfizer, okay? And
I just want to be your echo right now. Go ahead.
Pfizer is the one who produces the vaccine for the virus, and by coincidence, that started in the biological laboratory in Wuhan, which by coincidence is funded by Dr. Fauci, who is promoting the vaccine. Okay, it goes around in circles. GlaxoSmithKline is managed by BlackRock Finances, who manages the finances of Open Foundation Company, which is the George Soros Foundation, and they serve the French AXA.
And that Open Societies. Open society.
Yes.
We need to create a list of companies in which to pull out our money.
Let me just get through this.
Go ahead.
Let me just get through this. By coincidence, Soros also owns the German company Winterthur, which built the Chinese laboratory in Wuhan. There you go. There's the circle. Mm-hmm. And was bought by the German Allianz. And which has Vanguard as a shareholder and is a shareholder of BlackRock, and that they control the central banks and manage about one third of global investment capital. So you got BlackRock now, who's a major shareholder of Microsoft, property of Bill Gates, who's also a shareholder in Pfizer. Remember? So it's like they're
we
all
need to get these companies. You want to talk about defund the police? Let's defund the corporations. Let's find the money trail, what companies not to buy anything from, all the way from Johnson & Johnson. Get that crap off the shelves.
Yeah, don't rent your house from BlackRock. They're the ones buying up all the properties, whole subdivisions, and then just renting them and offering over asking price to suck up as much real estate homes as possible.
But the thing here is what everybody's missing is you have a state of terrorism, you have a political state, you also have a medical climate as well. And this is what seems to be invisible to everybody. Okay, what was it, like 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, there was a drug that was put out. I forgot what it did, but I know that women were having deformed children because of it. When I say deformed, I mean you had children with stubby legs and stubby arms that did not grow away from the torso. Okay? They look like platypuses.
Is it okay? Thalidomide?
Exactly, thalidomide. Mm. Correct. 5 cases showed up and made public before they took it off the shelves. Now we're talking about
5,000.
Now we're talking about a plandemic where people are dying from the vaccine. So it's okay. There's some acceptable deaths.
Mm.
No, that means your science is wrong. Okay, this isn't the best. You should have a product out there that is 100% across the board. As it is right now, we're going from a product that harmed a few people, was taken off the shelves, to a product where it's like, okay, everybody's been sat down at a table, and every 6 people a loaded 38 special gets put in front of them. One bullet, somewhere in the barrel. Everybody in the world has to take a turn. Everybody in the world has to take a turn of this Russian roulette. That's what we're looking at right now. In the medical climate, you're playing Russian roulette. You don't know if you're going to be the one to get it. And if you do get it, it's acceptable.
V, you know what's funny?
When was it acceptable? Since when was it okay for a corporation to decide a death was acceptable amongst the population? When did that happen? Who gave them the power? Who gave them the authority to even make such a statement? I'm sorry, go ahead.
The funny thing is that when I was coming back from the hospital after being almost forced to take the vaccine, after an hour and a half drive, I come home, and what do I see a half hour after I get home? I go through this video of the vaccine that anybody would have taken under duress like that from the doctor. But I asked him mm-hmm. questions about the vaccine, and he backed off. But through this video, what we're going to hear is collusion. We're going to hear the treatment of the military in this. We're going to hear the history of collusion. We're going to hear about prosecutorial discretion, which is unfreaking believable.
Okay, Mike, no commercial breaks throughout this episode. We're going to need every minute possible.
I figured that out.
all right, yeah.
We're already skipping. We'll take top of the hour just to have some good recordings.
Okay. That's fine. All right. Go ahead, Luca.
This next part is about collusion. Mm-hmm. And think of the notes that I just gave you about, you know, who owns who and how everybody chases their each other's tail. They're all kissing ass, literally. And they're mm-hmm. all making money, and they're laughing at us in the face when they go to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Do you mind if we just pick it up kind of where we left off, or you want me to skip ahead?
I'll just skip ahead, because it wasn't really that important. I knew where he was going, because I almost got it by heart.
Okay, here we go. Let's rock it.
What is keeping these people free?
The Why U.S. Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Department of Justice has failed the American people and has had this information since April of 2020, all of the information I'm sharing with you, and they have sat on it and done nothing. This has gone to U.S. attorneys. This has gone to the Department of Justice. I sent this in April of 2020. I sent this to the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services, and not a single law enforcement entity in the United States has taken this seriously, not one.
Can you speculate why that might be?
Well, it's not a speculation. It's very clearly the situation where they have been ordered not to. Because in any other situation, I mean, listen, I've worked with the DOJ on antitrust matters in the past. You probably know, Stu, that my organization, MCAM, was involved in one of the largest white-collar tax frauds in U.S. history, which was U.S. corporations and universities colluding to defraud the federal government back in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And we were at the time accused of being the second largest tax collector in U.S. history, which is kind of a dubious distinction. You don't get a lot of Christmas cards if you're a tax collector, but I don't think things have changed very much for the last couple thousand years.
They're not amongst my favorite people on the
list.
You know,
probably none of us are, you know, setting out cookies for the tax collector. But when we were doing that, what we found was that there is an enormous amount of appetite inside of the Department of Justice for antitrust investigations. And you know this to be the case. They are allegedly going after Google and Facebook, and we've been told that that is their priority. But the fact of the matter is, the Department of Justice has abjectly failed every U.S. attorney in this country. Every part of the DOJ's antitrust division has been focused singularly on the social media price fixing, search engine optimization, restraint of trade, those kinds of things. They've been singularly focused on that as the fig leaf to hide behind what is in fact a much larger crime. The crime is that we have collusion between what is called interlocking directorates inside of antitrust law. We have Anthony Fauci at NIAID. We have the director of the Center for Disease Control in China. And we have Dr. Elias from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all sitting on a board, all colluding to actually create, price fix, and market direct this pandemic.
So there really is no virus.
No.
And we have been talking to, I mean, a large Rolodex of experts weighing in on this for a very long time. And I think that as the layers of this fruit, whatever you want to call it, get peeled back, as the rind gets cut off and we start really looking for the seeds here, that is the direction that all of this conversation has been going.
We're past your mark. You want to keep going for a minute there? Or...
You know what? I've got to say, I've been telling everybody there is no virus for the longest time. Remember, Mike, I said, I put out the challenge, anybody who catches COVID, call the show.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Nobody's ever called the show.
I still know no one, or that they even knew
anybody that had got COVID. What happened? Okay, you know how something becomes so normal, like the common cold and the flu? People die from the flu all the time.
Yeah,
what happens?
Yeah, you get pneumonia. But
nobody looks at that anymore. It's so normal, so regular, so happenstance.
Dude, they're coming out, and just like, y'all, wow, man, the flu's and the colds. Wow, good job, everybody. Wear your mask. Of course, COVID somehow.
And you guys are going to hear.
But hold on. The thing is, it's like. Okay, our eyes have been turned away from it for so long. You know, it's one thing, but now there's a political agenda. Hey, swing the camera back around. Oh, there's somebody dying from the flu. Let's call that COVID-19. Let's push off this vaccine.
You're close. That's exactly what Fauci did. You're going to hear it from that guy's mouth. Fauci took that bad year that we had where a lot of people died in 2018, I believe it was, or 19. Mm-hmm. And he used that to say that we needed a vaccine, and that's what he used as an excuse to push the whole thing. You're going to hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, we have this collusion. So what does this do for our war against China? Seeing as how they're colluding in all this world domination bullcrap.
See, that's something else. Yes. There's no coronavirus, okay? There's no China either. China is bought and paid for by Rothschild, just like every other company there is, just like every other country there is, almost all of them.
You think the CCP bows down to Rothschilds?
I think it's all a show, and I think Rothschild is just sitting back looking at China, just like they look at what's going on in Australia and Britain and France. And, okay. You know, whatever works is going to work. I really do. I thought Russia was separate from Rothschild, but it isn't, you know. And then you find out that China, I think, is just another colony. I think it's just a big game that we're doing.
Looks like we've got a caller that wants to come on with a COVID case story. Want to throw him in here real quick?
How dare they? Now? Of all times? Okay, yeah, come on.
All right, here we go. I don't even know his name. I'm sorry. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Dave, New York. Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, V. You had just said that nobody called in saying they knew anyone who had COVID, et cetera. And
right.
I understand that it's very difficult to imagine that something exists if you don't know anyone who has gotten the illness, and they say it's such a big deal. But my brother and his household had COVID, for one. Now, you know, he's gotten a flu before, but he never got a spot of pneumonia. And both of them went in and they got some antibody treatments. And the kids that had got it, had a flu and they got over it. There's a fellow.
They had a flu and got over it.
Yeah.
Okay. The kids did, but my, you know, I mean, these other people got sicker than normal, definitely. And they had long COVID. In other words, it took them time to feel better and get better. We have another fellow. He's more like 77. He sings in a church. He's a very nice guy. But he and his daughter both went in the hospital and got it. And we really thought he was going to die. He was on a ventilator. Just spoke to him 2 days ago. Happened to run into him. He said he was on the ventilator for 10 days. And he wasn't conscious then, but he came out of it, and he's doing really pretty well now. And his daughter didn't get that sick.
Something I want to point out: even though air travel was restricted during this time period, still restricted, but even when air travel stopped, tell me, did you once look at up in the sky and not see chemtrails?
Well, it's been suggested that they could distribute this in an aerial manner later on. Who knows? Well, I mean,
they could.
Warren from Ohio mentioned they distributed things before by air.
They not only can they distribute it, but they can hit you with, let's say, something like 5G, and lower your immune system to where you will have five times adverse reaction to something that you would not normally have had. So if they need to bolster some numbers in the pandemic, you better not be in the range of 5G anywhere. Your router, anywhere.
I just need to say something to the caller. Okay. What's your name again, caller?
Dave.
Dave, I need to say this to you because it's important. This is the game that they're playing of divide and conquer for thousands of years. There's a hieroglyph in Egypt showing, you know, two leaders that are holding one arm while they're playing with their people underneath, and they're making war, and it's all staged. This is exactly what's going on. They've done it so well. They've done it so well that they're dividing. They're dividing families, and this is where I'm getting at. My brother loses his brother-in-law, his wife's brother, by COVID. It was a COVID death, and this is right at the time when I was hearing more and more about, you know, hospitals fixing deaths and being paid and being incentivized to write COVID as a death, even if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I made the mistake of telling my brother, hey, listen, you know, you might want to check that death, because it might be fixed, and it might be, you know, it might be a COVID death. It might be a fraud. You should look into it. They hung up on me.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to talk since. Me and my conspiracy theories can go to hell. So this is exactly what they're doing. And they've done this for hundreds of years, and they're very good at it. And, you know, we have to stick together, because, you know, once people know that you're telling the truth and they can trust you, then you can build some kind of nucleus. But the families, forget it. It's gone.
Well, I understand. And I run into people like that, too.
But you got
to... I think we really...
What it's all about. Hold on.
We really need to look at the real
science. Just breaking down the family nucleus. Breaking down the family nucleus. Every psyop that they've thrown at us, it falls into the cracks of breaking down the family nucleus. Everything they throw at us, it doesn't matter what it is. Mom and dad are in danger. They split. You know, brothers and uncles. People become divided. You're right, Luca.
And this is in the protocols of Zion. Again, I hate to repeat myself. Breaking up the family unit. The children become property of the state, which is already happening. The state can literally go vaccinate the kids in schools without the parents knowing about it. When have you ever heard that in history? You know, so they're speeding things up, and that's why we're here talking about this.
All right, yeah, caller, can you wrap up?
We should also consider the work of real scientists and MDs who have dealt with this disease. We have Dr. Pierre Corey. He's been before Congress. We have Dr. Fleming. We have Dr. McCullough, who's dealt with tons of patients. And they know this is an unusual disease. They know it's a real disease. They have the full sequence information that Fleming has put out. So I think it's as ludicrous as the article that is on the Liberty Beacon about graphene oxide, where the researchers clearly state that they have not structurally identified the graphene oxide. And I, being a chemist, understand exactly what they're saying. But the article says that graphene oxide is in the vial. They have not concluded this, and people are going off. Now, they have some very good photographic evidence, but until they get structural...
Listen, you know what happens when nanoparticulates, especially graphene oxide, is hit with a frequency, especially 5G frequency. You know what happens, don't you, being a chemist?
Well, I would say you know, anyone needs to research all these articles. There's tons of articles on the graphene oxide. Yes.
Well, it has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Pfizer vaccine holds 99.99103% graphene oxide.
It has not been proven. That's absolutely incorrect. It cannot have a solution that's 99% graphene oxide. It's not that soluble, for one. That was an alleged ratio based on an assay, which they didn't show.
A parts per million sort of thing?
They haven't confirmed it.
Is that like a parts per million sort of thing?
Right in their article, in the conclusions. Read it. Mm-hmm. Tell Mr. Landry about it. I put a comment there. He may or may not post it, but he could read my comment. I know what I'm talking about. I can read.
Well, you know what? We might have to get your volunteerism and your research in on further looks at this thing. Would you oblige us?
I'd be glad to speak to Mr. Landry or anything. What were you suggesting, V?
Well, I'll just, you'd be a part of the show as one of our researchers. You could definitely correct us if we missed anything. You being a chemist,
very good, V, that you are actually using what I suggested to John Stadtmiller months ago, that we have actual peer review here.
Yeah,
and I may not be perfect, I may not be right, but I can pose an argument if I have an idea.
I offer to everybody, if you want to do some research for us and pose an argument or make an argument, that's fine with me. The point here is that we get to the truth.
My grandmother always said that the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, Dave says one thing, Roger says another. The truth is like probably in the middle somewhere.
Yes.
So, you know, we're all right because we're all digging and we're, you know, it's all intention that matters. The rest isn't important because we'll never know the 100% truth. We weren't there.
Well, you know what? Right. I would, as far as to invite you to be a guest of the show this evening as we go through the rest of these clips, would you do that for us?
I'm still awake. I'm on the East Coast in the U.S. and I can do that. I will comment on Dr. Martin's statement that I remember him saying that there was no Delta variant, that was a creation of the PCR test, a new test with a new segment. Okay, that's what he said. But I have reviewed this with some other people who are top-notch, and they say that, listen, Dr. Martin, first of all, is not a scientist. He's a businessman. That doesn't mean he couldn't understand things. But these other people have actually gone through the sequences. They have great deal of data showing that the Delta variant exists and that it has actually lost some of the spike, the engineered functionality, some of these segments that were put into it. It has reverted to the natural, and it is less lethal, as shown by Chris Martinson's pathology analysis of the bulletin number 18 from the United Kingdom that shows that the SARS-CoV-2, the alpha original version, had a 1.9% case fatality rate, and the Delta has only a 0.2% case fatality rate. Now, although it is more transmissible, and therefore it's difficult to assess how many people it might kill. But those are my comments on that.
Okay,
see, this is the problem.
This is what I want to do. I want to. Yeah, I see we got James from Vancouver on the show, who's also a man of science. I would kind of like to bring him in as well.
Science.
And I kind of want to take a step back and just listen for the rest of the episode. I want Luca to take over, if you would, Luca, because it's going to be – I'm not going to get through everything if I'm talking. But we've got two great callers here who are very insightful. And if you want to take over the show, I would love it.
It's not really taking over. I mean, it's just continuing and listening to these clips. They are long. And the thing is that we can debate and debate and debate until the cows come home while they sit there and laugh at us. The thing is,
right.
when you know from the beginning that Gandhi has said himself that vaccines are a barbarous enterprise and that people should stand alone if they have to in defense of their conviction, okay? When you hear people like Rudolf Steiner in 1918 saying that a vaccine has to be created to get people disconnected from the higher worlds and, you know, not wanting to be spiritually gifted or whatever you call that. In other words, dumbing people down. This is what they've been doing. And this is just a continuation of it all. So,
Luca, I will let you continue on with your clips. So if you want to go ahead, please go ahead.
I got to jump in with one quick thing. I'm watching the debunkers, and they're talking about stats of vaccination. And then they have the herd immunity level of, you know, 85-something, 90% vaccination. Then we get herd immunity. The vaccine doesn't prevent the freaking illness, man. I've had it with these people. I'm not going to go off on my germ theory garbage where people think, the germs get you. It's like germs are in 100 years, hopefully less, we're going to have the same garbage play out again where people are like, oh, they thought that flies like came from the garbage or what? I don't know. I'm a little flustered on this one.
And can you imagine the doctor looking at me? At less than 2 feet away from my face, and he says, Luca, how would you feel? You're not vaccinated. How would you feel? You could kill somebody, and you wouldn't even know it. How would you feel? How would that make you feel? Would you be able to live with that?
Next thing you know, we're gonna have the miasma theory again.
I would just say dead doctors don't lie.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
There we go.
Who was that? Who did that?
Yeah,
was that
you know what? Good doctors.
Joel doctors. Wallach.
Oh, I love Wallach. I mean, he's
good doctors don't know. You know, doctors are not they're not trained in what we're talking about. They're not trained in nutrition. They don't have a clue what they're doing.
Like I said, my cousin, the doctor, the dermatologist, she took it, and she took the vaccine. I'm like, you're an experiment. I talked to my biochemical PhD friend. Out in Berkeley, he tried to cure cancer for like 10 years, and now he's like, yeah, that was dumb. It ain't happening. And I talked to him about the vaccine, and I've invited him to come on the show. He's going to come on the show. I don't care if I have to call him myself. He's West Coast. It's plenty early, and we're going to have a little chat. I chatted with him for about an hour a few months ago about the vaccine, and he was like, okay. He was like, Slod, you get it. It's like you actually know what's going on. It is experimental. It could be really bad. You know, giggle. What are we gonna do? I've had it, man.
Well, that,
you know what I mean?
That's actually one of the clips. That's the after next one. The clip you're gonna hear now is summary. That's what I call it. The next clip after that discusses what we can do.
Okay, you want to bring James in for the last little 2 or 3 minutes here, and then we'll get into the clip again after the
absolutely.
The yeah,
I haven't said hello to him.
Hi, James.
Yeah, hi guys.
Peer review.
If you have one, I'm guessing there's about a nanogram of graphene oxide in each of these shots. Mm-hmm. If you have a nanogram of graphene oxide, and you have say in 1 mole of graphene oxide, you got 10 to the 23 particles in there. And you multiply 10 to the minus 9 times 10 to the 23, you're left with 10 to the 14, about 10 to the 14 conduction electrons. And there's maybe about 10 to the 11 cells in your body. So you're getting 1,000 new conduction electrons in each cell of your body. Okay? And then if you walk into 5G, yeah, those electrons will start to resonate. And they'll set up a pressure gradient in your cell and probably pop it. And it'll be just like pneumonia. So the myocarditis is like... The myocarditis is like pneumonia in your heart. See? The cells are popping. And then you're going to have massive tissue destruction. Okay?
Which is exactly what Fauci wanted. When Fauci was
for the record... Yeah?
Go ahead.
No, for the record, there is no COVID virus. There never was. If there was, it's still on the floor or in the test tubes in Wuhan, okay? it's just not here.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I agree. Well, okay.
So
we're going to have a peer review episode, guys. We're going to have a peer review episode. We have a peer review episode, just like how Dave...
They did declare in the paper by the Spanish researchers that there were 747 nanograms per microliter of graphene oxide. Now, their assay can't be for any particular graphene oxide because they haven't, they haven't identified this it structurally. But if their assay is in some way correct, that's like 0.0747, I think, percent. And I thought your Avogadro's number calculation was very brilliant comparing it to the number of cells. I've heard you say it once before.
Yes.
That was good.
I worked in this field now for about 22 years. And the thing is the polyethylene glycol is what's letting it cross the cell wall. See? That lets the weapon.
The cell membrane, you mean?
Yes. That is the surfactant that's letting it across the cell wall. And once it gets into the cell,
we have to go to a commercial break. But you know what? I would like to make Dave and James our official peer review team. These guys are on the dime.
We don't agree on everything. But
that's fine.
But there shouldn't be any ego involved at all, and we'll all be sitting here learning.
Learning? Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. Trying to get to the truth.
Fair enough.
I got my popcorn.
All right. We gotta go to commercial break just for the top of the hour. After that, we'll be back, and there'll be no commercial breaks, and we will get to the bottom of this stuff. So stay tuned, guys.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.